Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Mark of the Beast. The devil will set up the Antichrist as a dictator over the world, but then this beast will be assassinated, only to be resurrected by Satan. Does some of that sound familiar? It should if you know the story of Jesus. The book of Revelation is difficult to understand if you don't know the origin of the Kabbalah and its end game. Jesus identified the Antichrist system as the number of a man. The Kabbalistic and Masonic writings refer to King Solomon as the developer of the Kabbalah, corroborating the biblical account of a man with a Kabbalistic number of 666. Renegade Jews have been working for the last 3,000 years to create a political/religious system built on banking and commerce from which their false Messiah can rule the world. This message is entitled, The Beast and the Kabbalah. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide, and I'm glad to have you here today. I'm doing a mini-series called The Mark of the Beast, and today I'm going to be talking to you about the beast and the Kabbalah. What we're going to do is we're going to look upon the first 3.5 years of the reign of the Antichrist, or the beast. So let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you will open up the Word of God to us here. I thank you, Father God, that you will help me to speak distinctly, to read the Scriptures right, to be able to pronounce every word correctly, Father God, so that people will understand. And for your Holy Spirit to open up the minds of the people, Lord, that they will see what the Bible says. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The beast, the Antichrist system, the mark of the beast, you heard about it. People have talked about it for a number of years. And I want you to understand now, why did God have this written down in the Bible? Let me try to give you two examples first, so you understand what I'm talking about. Let's say that you need another car, and you want to buy a car. So the first thing you do is you make sure you have the financing and that you can be able to buy a car. But before you go down to the dealership, whatever brand you have decided that you want to buy, you want to do your homework. So you go on the internet, you check out the repair record on this car, the safety record on the car, and you check out as much as you can. You want to be educated. So you want to know everything about that particular model that you want to buy. And you might even go to other dealership and look at other models to see if you really have selected a right vehicle for you. And once you have done all your homework and you got the financing, then you drive down to the dealership and you say, I'm interested in this car over here, and I want to test it out. I want to try to drive it. I want to talk to some people. I want to see how it is. And we want to discuss if I'm going to buy that car. Now you are an informed buyer. You're not looking for the color or the interior that will determine if you're going to buy the car or not. You want to look for it mechanically sound and that it's safe. That's how you buy a car. Now, let's talk about in the military. So let's say now, for example, like not too long ago, maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, the United States sent out a number of Marines, paratroopers, to the Middle East. And somebody's unit got 24-hour notice. Now, what they do before you have a unit go overseas, there is an intelligence briefing. The number one thing you do is this, that every man that goes into combat zone, or close to combat zone, he simply says, sit down and write your will. Every soldier is told, sit down, write your will, because you might not come back. And we want you to make sure that you're taking care of your family, everything else. So if you die in a battle zone, we don't have to worry about that. Your last will, testament, is done. The next thing they tell them is, now, this is where you're going. Here's the climate. This is the type of clothing you need. If it is going to be cold, if it's going to be hot, whatever the situation is, this is how you're going to live. And then they tell you now, these are the enemies that you're up against. You have the Revolutionary Guard, and they are capable of this. These are the kind of weapons they have. This is what they can do, and they cannot do. So a soldier is totally briefed. And then they send him off on the airplane, and he goes in now as an informed soldier. He knows where he's going to live. He knows the climate. He knows what kind of clothes to have. He knows the enemy. There will be no surprises. You understand that? So now we had a car. Now we got the military. Let's talk about the Christians now. Jesus knew from the very beginning of the foundation of the world, we're going to have a time called a tribulation. It's going to be a bad time. He knew in advance about the beast, the false prophet. And Jesus simply said this, I have to prepare my people. I want them to know what is going to happen. I want them to be informed so they can fight, pray, survive, whatever it is, that you will not be, what's this? Wow, where's God? He wants you to be informed. And that's the reason that I'm preaching these messages. I've preached on it before. We have a little bit more knowledge now. And we're going to simply get you more informed. I want to start in Revelation chapter 13. Now, I haven't addressed this, but let me say this. There is no rapture of the church before the Antichrist is going to show up. That's a lie from the devil. There's no rapture before the Antichrist comes. If he shows up, you're going to be here. There's no flight out. So Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 2. Now, I'm building on last week. If this is the first message you hear from me, go back in the archives, look for last week, and beef yourself up. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. We talked about last week that this is not a man. He came out of the sea. I believe it's a hybrid. And Satan now is going to bring him on the scene. He's going to give him power. He's going to give him his seat. Remember, he was called the prince of this world. And he's going to have great authority. This man will not be like a prime minister or a king. He's going to have supernatural power. He's going to be able to do things that a regular person cannot do. So Satan is going to set this man up to be a dictator over the nations. In verse number 3 and point number 2, my outline, he's going to be assassinated. And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded, to death. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Remember now that just about every dictator up to Khrushchev in the Soviet Union were assassinated. Poisoned, shot, killed. Adolf Hitler, there were several attempts on his life. Probably the most close to succeed was when he was in a bunker on the Eastern Front, and one of his officers brought in a briefcase with a bomb in it and placed it very close to where Hitler was sitting. For some reason, Hitler got up during the meeting, maybe go to the bathroom, and as he just got outside the room, the bomb exploded and did tremendous damage in the room. And so they tried to take him out. This beast will be killed. Satan will raise him up. And I want you now to look in verse number 3. And all the world wondered after the beast. They simply said, wow, he got resurrected. Why is the devil allowing someone to kill his man? He needed resurrection. You see, the devil is copying everything that God has done. Jesus was crucified. His body died on the cross. 3 days later, God raised the body up. Jesus came back in a body. This is going to be the same thing, but this is going to simply going to say, well, this is the Messiah. And it says in the Old Testament he will be killed. He was killed. And now he's raised up. And they're going to say this. When he died, he paid for your sins. Believe on the beast, and you will be saved. It's going to be a total deception. And we need to understand that. Let's talk about Mystery Babylon right now. The Great Whore is a political and religious system that is tied to banking and trade on a global scale. The beast gives birth to the Great Whore, and all the nations of the world will do business with her and prosper. The Great Whore is a Kabbalistic system that eventually is going to replace all religions on this earth. The god of the Kabbalah, small g, is Lucifer, and he's going to demand worship of him alone. Christians will be harshly persecuted and killed. So let's read now from Revelation 13, verse number 4, down to 9. And they worshipped the dragon, and they worshipped Satan. The people on this earth will worship Satan. The Kabbalah is the worship of Lucifer, Satan. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. And it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him for continue 40 and 2 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints, that's the Christians, to overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. If you live in China today, you have to simply worship the Communist Party. And you worship it in such a way that you simply give your allegiance. And you never speak a bad word about Chairman Xi or the Communists. You talk about the motherland, the fatherland. You talk about the benign Communist Party. And there is worship. You have to do that in China today if you want to live. Because they persecute anyone that stands up against the Communist system. If you go to Iran, you have there the Ayatollahs. These are fanatical Muslim clerics. And you speak a word against them regime, and you're picked up, tortured, and killed. If you live in Pakistan, and this has been happened many times, if you say that Muhammad is an imposter, if you say that Muhammad is a liar, is a crook, you know what they do to you in Pakistan? in their laws, there is a death sentence. And there's a woman that was accused of having spoken bad about Muhammad. And she's been on death row for a number of years. And they tried to have her executed because a couple of witnesses said, this woman, we heard her say this about Muhammad. So Satan is not benign. When he puts his people up, you got to worship them, or he gets upset. Now, Muhammad was a crook, a liar, a murderer, a thief, a thug, and he's in hell today. And you know, he, in hell, he's praying, God, don't have anyone else convert to Islam. Because every person that converts to Islam is going to increase his pain. You got another guy that is in hell praying hard, and that's Joseph Smith. Another crook, liar, cheat, murderer. And he's praying, oh God, destroy the Mormon church. Don't let them continue. These guys are praying hard because they had false religions and they led people astray. Let me take a now to Revelation 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And they keep one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talk to me, saying to me, come hither, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of a fornication. So he carried my way in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of a fornication. And upon her forehead, name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, verse 15. And he said to me, the water which you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Who is this Babylon mystery, the whore? Who is it? It is a system built upon the Kabbalah. Let's go back to the outline here now, and let's try to build the case. I'm trying to build the case to show you what has happened and what will happen. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 10, 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. 666 talents. I've read that many times. And when I prepared this message, I said, now, how many pounds is in a talent? Was this a little amount of gold, or how much was it? And I was surprised that when I looked this up, checked it out, I found out that 666 talents of gold is about 20 tons of gold. That's a lot of gold. Solomon got that every year in worship. He didn't want to have 667 or 600 talents or 700. He wanted 666 because his Kabbalistic number is 666. Now, to those of you that are not familiar with Freemasonry and the Kabbalah, in Freemasonry, in the Kabbalah, people have numbers. They're given numbers. You have a Kabbalistic number. And 666 is the most holy number in the Kabbalah. And it was reserved for one man only, King Solomon. Keep your finger right there and turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. And we read this from verse number 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. And his number is 666 or 666. At the time when the book of Revelation was written, the Jewish people were very well aware of the Kabbalah. They were very well aware of the number 666. So what Jesus did when he revealed this, he said, now, folks, listen, here's wisdom. Let him that's understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. And everybody in Israel at that time, oh, that's King Solomon, 666. Now, Christians in other countries have never read the Kabbalah, have never been involved in Freemasonry, never read the material. 666, you simply say, well, I don't know what it means, but it has a very meaning, and it goes back to King Solomon. Now, we're going to go back to 1 Kings 10 again. Solomon also had a special throne made with six steps. Each step had a line on either side. Anyone approaching the throne would be confronted with 666. We have a picture here for you that is taken here. And this is this is from Jewish literature, where they have simply drawn up a picture to show people how that throne looked like. So let's read now from 1 Kings 18 through 20. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid it with the best gold. He had plenty of gold. The throne had six steps, and the top of the throne was round behind. There were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, on the upper of the six steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. I want you to see the last verse. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, on the other, upon the six steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. This was a unique throne that Solomon had designed. And it simply represented his Kabbalistic number. King Solomon organized a secret movement in Israel that opposed the teaching of Moses and the prophets. Some 231 years later, after Solomon, who was between 970 and 931 B.C., the Kabbalistic movement was strong in Israel by 700 B.C. 231 years, and the Kabbalah had taken hold of Israel, its leadership. Their belief that the Messiah would only arise from the bottomless pit if the Kabbalists increased their sinning and had taken hold, and God used the prophet Isaiah to rebuke them. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 5 right now. Let me just make one clarification here. The Kabbalah is the opposite to the Bible. In the Bible, we are told that God is holy, that we are to ask for forgiveness, that we are not to sin, and that we are to be holy. In the Kabbalah, it's the opposite. The teaching there is that their Messiah, which will be the beast, is sitting in a bottomless pit, stuck. He fell out there at the creation. And they need to get him up. And they simply said this, to get him up, we can have two ways. We can make everybody good, he can come up. Or we make everybody bad, and he can come up. Notice now the difference. God sent his Messiah to the earth, the Son of God. He did not ask Israel to prepare for the Messiah. He didn't say, you got to build the synagogues, you got to do this, you got to do that, and so on. And when you got all the preparation done, I'm going to send the Messiah. No. God simply sent the Messiah down, boom, and said, here he is. Accept him or reject him. The Kabbalah teaches that they have to prepare for their Messiah. And once they have prepared everything, he can show up. So Isaiah 5, 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. In other words, sin. And sin as it were with a cartridge. Woe unto them that sin and simply stir it up. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we might see it. and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel through nine come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. If you look upon Hollywood, you look upon the television entertainment industry, the music industry, and whatever we have with entertainment, video games, it is geared to violence, sin, debauchery, fornication, adultery. And you say, why do they do that? They're Kabbalists. They serve their god, the devil. And the more they sin, the more they please their god. That's why they don't feel bad. When they murder somebody, they don't feel bad. They feel good. I please Lucifer. Remember about a year ago, 2 years ago? There's a cartoon of something going on called Slender Man. And it's on the internet. And two girls, Midwest someplace, 12, 13 years old, worshipped Slender Man. It did not exist. It's an imaginary figure. He demands sacrifice. So they took another girl, about 12, 13 years old, and said, hey, let's go out to the forest and have some fun. They took her out there, and they started cutting her with knives, and they tried to kill her, and they left her a bloody mass to die. But the girl that was stabbed, she managed to crawl up to a road. Somebody found her, and she survived. And the 12, 13-year-old girls were arrested. Now, they were children. And they asked them, why did you do that? We wanted to please Slender Man. They threw away their lives. You got to understand, the mindset of a Kabbalist, he is evil, thinks evil, does evil. There is no good in him, not one good bone in him. And the only thing that can save that person is for the Holy Spirit to convict him of their sins and reveal Christ to him, like God did to the Apostle Paul, who was called Saul of Tarsus at that time. Let's turn it to Isaiah 28:14. I believe that these girls now are about 16 or 17 years old, or 18 years old. And there was an interview of the girl that got stabbed. She said she has forgiven them. But the two girls that did the stabbing, their lives are ruined. I mean, their lives are ruined. For what? To please their imaginary god. Isaiah 28:14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell a real agreement, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and the falsehood have we hid ourselves. Notice now, Adam Schiff is Jewish, and the other guy that sits in the Senate, I can't remember his name right now. Schumer is Jewish, but there's another one. Okay, I can't hear it. Anyway, all three are Jewish. And they are loyal to the Kabbalah. Bernie Sanders is Jewish. You notice now that they never talked about the Jewishness of these people. They never mentioned it. Because you've said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell I'm in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, which shall not come unto us, for we have made lies a refuge, and the falsehood have hid ourselves. If you're a Freemason, you took an oath of death when you joined. If you were a Mormon, and you want to go to the Mormon temple, you have to take an oath of death. If you were a college student, and you want to join one of the fraternities, you have to take an oath of death. Why do you think that so many people are evil? Their sororities and the fraternities on our campuses are satanic. Kabbalistic in their setup. This is where young people learn to drink, smoke, fornicate, commit adultery. And when they are out of college, they are trained to live a sinful life. Verse 16. Therefore, this is the Lord God. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion and right to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lice, and the water shall overflow all the hiding places. Verses 16 and 17 refers to Christ, where God simply tells Isaiah, I'm going to put my man in. And then you go back to the Kabbalah. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. For the time that it goes forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Now, next verse is very good. For the bed is short, and the man can stretch himself on it, and the overcoming narrow, than he that can wrap himself in it. If you read the book of Revelation now, and we talk about the plagues, the violence, and all the other things, God is going to severely judge the Antichrist system, the Kabbalistic system. He's going to judge it. One third of the world population is going to be killed. There's going to be a tremendous punishment upon the Kabbalist during the time at the end of the tribulation. Let's turn to page number 2 of the outline now. And this is here, when you see this here now, we have the devil's plan for Israel and God's plan for Israel. We have today what is called Christian Zionist. And Christian Zionism was created by Kabbalistic Jews. And they simply said this, how can we, in stealth, secretly, getting everything done? And they said, let's bamboozle the Christians. When we set up Israel, let me tell them, God did this. When we set up the political state of Israel, we would simply say, God has fulfilled prophecies. Now, it was not prophesied about 1948. It's prophesied about the thousand-year kingdom. And so now, Christians are protecting the people that are going to bring the Antichrist. Pastors are standing up in pulpits and saying, we stand with Israel. We got to stand with Israel to any price. We stand with the Jews. Yes, you stand with the Antichrist. And anyone saying that, oh, he's anti-Semitic. He's a bad dude. But look at the outline here now. Satan selected Abraham and his seed to usher in the false Messiah in the world. God selected Abraham and his seed to usher in the Messiah to the world. Satan's Jewish Messiah is a man anointed with supernatural power. I stressed that the last year. The Jewish Messiah that teaches in the synagogue is not divine. He's a man anointed. God's Messiah is the Son of God incarnated in a human body. Satan will supernaturally raise his false Messiah from the dead. We talk about that today. God resurrected the body of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Satan's Messiah is a beast. God's Messiah is the Son of God. Satan's Messiah would end up in a lake of fire. God's Messiah is the creator and the ruler of the universe. If you study these points that are made, you should be able to say, wow, something is wrong here. This nation was founded by the pilgrims, Christians, but we also had ungodly people come in, had a colony in Virginia, and they were secular. So this nation had two starters, Christians and non-Christians. This nation, America, is a blessing and it's a curse. Because we got two sets of people in America. We got those that love God. And we have those that love Lucifer. America is a two-edged sword. Bad, good. As you can see, the people of Israel are both a blessing and a curse. I'm just going to shoot this in. Jesus had a story about the tares. He said a man had a field. The enemy came in and sowed tares, weeds. And as the crop came up, the weed came up. And somebody said to the owner, should we go and pull out the weeds? And the owner said, no, let them grow together. Because if we pull out the weed, we will hurt the crop. When it's time for harvest, we will take out the weed first and burn it. And then take out the crop. God is allowing his people to live at the same time with Satan's people, and we are intermingled in America. Every nation has two sets of people living in it, God's people and the devil's people. Now, the prophet Jeremiah came on the scene about 627 B.C., 73 years after Isaiah. And let's read what he said now in Jeremiah chapter 7. We pick it up here, verses 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, that enter in these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment with the man and neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your father forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we have delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. Now, God spoke through Jeremiah and said, I see you, you Kabbalist, I know what you're doing, amend your ways. Look in Jeremiah 11:9. And the Lord said to me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquity of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. They went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel, the house of Judah, have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, this is the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape, and through they shall cry to me, I will not hearken unto them. Do you understand now why God so severely judged Israel? The 10 northern tribes lost their land. Judah and Benjamin lost their land. And Jews today are always fearful. Always fearful. Persecution. Discrimination. You hear it all the time. People do not like Jews. Let's be honest. People in all the different countries of the world basically do not like Jewish people. Now, if you say that, you're not politically correct, but that's true. Now, what people do is that they shut their mouth and they simply toe the line because they know this. If we say anything about the Jews, if we tell anything they do bad, it's going to cost me my job, it's going to cost this, it's going to cost that. You can't do that today. But it's an underlying ill-willing in all nations and it could explode during the tribulation period when the Jewish Antichrist, the beast, is going to rule. It's going to explode in anger. Now, should we hate the Jews? Absolutely not. A Jewish person doesn't know anything else. Just like you are a product where you were born. If you were born in a Christian home, most likely you end up a Christian. If you're born in a Muslim home, you're going to be a Muslim. If you're born in a Jewish home, you're going to be a Jew. You're going to be a Kabbalist eventually. It's by default. So we need to understand this. God saved me. God saved you by grace. And we need to pray for every type of nationality on this earth for them to see the truth and receive Christ. It is not because I'm smart that I'm a Christian. It's because God had mercy on me. I ran the other way. And God said, come on, come on. None of us can brag and say, oh man, I was so smart. I accepted Christ because I'm so smart. No, dummy. You accepted Christ because you were convicted of your sins. That's how we came in. And we've got to remember that. You've got to love the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Jews, people that are Satanist. We got to love them, pray for them, and do what we can to get them saved. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 22, and we pick it up in verse number 24. Son of man, say to her, you are the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, raving to prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken a treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law, have profaned my holy thing. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from a Sabbath. And I am profaned amongst them. Her princes, the politicians, in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Politics today, and the prophets are dealt with in untempered mortar, seeing vanity and dividing lies and saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. Very few Christian pastors will put all these scriptures together. They don't know nothing about the Kabbalah. Most Christian pastors know nothing about Freemasonry. They're just ignorant. And they're just running down and doing what they have been taught. So they are educated idiots. And I'm not saying that because I hate them. I just feel sorry for them. There was a time I was an uneducated idiot. I was a Christian Zionist. Died in the wool. Rapture. And I was taught the truth. And I got angry. It took me a long time to get over that I was wrong. That I was not right. Let's take it to Matthew chapter 3 now. And we're going to pick it up from verse number 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Let me read verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, or snakes, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Why did he call them vipers, serpents? Because in the Kabbalah, the Messiah is the holy serpent. They simply were vipers. They worshipped him. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34, this is what Jesus said. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible has not, we have not identified time and time again, the Kabbalist, the serpent, the beast system. And if we now clinch it with Revelation chapter 2, and these are verses that most Christian pastors would never read in the pulpit. Oh, no. They won't read this. Revelation 2:9. Jesus said, I know your works, and tribulation and poverty. But you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Wow, synagogue of Satan. Chapter 3, verse number 9. Behold, I will make them out of synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. I'm going to say something, get them up your heart for you to swallow. Every synagogue in America, in Europe, and any other place in Israel, they are the synagogue of Satan. How can I say that? Because the Apostle John said this. Anyone that rejects that Jesus came in the flesh, he was divine, has the spirit of the Antichrist. I don't care if it's a Reformed synagogue, if it is a whatever they have, different types. Every rabbi will teach that Jesus is not the Messiah. He was an imposter. And they would say the Messiah, when he comes, could be a man anointed. They have the spirit of the Antichrist. Every synagogue is a synagogue of Satan. The people going there do not know that. The people going to a mosque to worship Muhammad, they don't know that that is a place for the devil that owns it. People that are Hindus do not know that they're worshiping Lucifer. They don't know any better because no one told them. They don't read the Bible. They've been blinded. They don't know. Let's go back now to Revelation 17, verses 3 and 7. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hands, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk of the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, if you flip your outline to page number 3, I said this. In verse number 6, the King James here says, with wonder with great admiration. The Greek text states, that he wondered with a great wonder. Why? The Apostle John, when this was given, about 90 AD, he had seen the temple destroyed. He had seen most Jews carted out from Israel. They were crushed. And now, he's standing in heaven. He sees the revelation. And says, wow, the Jews are ruling the world. The Kabbalistic system. He couldn't believe it. But they were crushed. And he sees in the end time, it is a Jewish system. Ask yourself this now. If you take ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and all the others, including Fox News, the owners are basically Jewish. The people that are running it, most of them are Jewish. You look upon a different industry in Hollywood, the different corporations. They were all started by Jews. Most of them Jews are still controlling it. If you go to President Trump, his Secretary of Finance is Jewish. He has probably 4 or 5 cabinet members that are Jewish. You go to the Democratic Party, and there's a lot of Jews in leadership there. You look at the banks in America, and most CEOs are Jewish. It doesn't matter where you go. Microsoft, Bill Gates, he's Jewish. Facebook, Zuckerberg, he's Jewish. And if they're not a Jewish leader, there are Jewish people in the leadership. You will find in America and in Western Europe that Jewish people basically are in the banking, they're in the industry, they're in politics. If you go to Russia, you find the oligarchs, and Putin is running around with about 9 Jewish oligarchs in Russia. And they need him, he needs them. It's a marriage made in hell. The guy that they paraded last week on television from Ukraine that simply said, well, I knew about President Bush, you know, and not Bush, Trump, and he knows everything. That guy is Jewish. The 2 guys that got arrested were Jewish, Ukrainian Jews. You find them everywhere. Why? Because they have put their own people in places of political power. Jeffrey Epstein was Jew. He was also working for intelligence. His job was to compromise politicians and business people by having them having sex with minors, taking pictures of them, blackmailing them. He got away with it. And then he got murdered in the most secure prison they had in New York, where it just happened that the camera didn't work outside his cell. The guards just happened to go to sleep that night. It just so happened. What I'm trying to share with you is this. We're coming into very unsettled times. We need to pray. Why have the Kabbalistic Jews been so successful? Because 95% of the Jewish people are not really in a deeper of the Kabbalah. It's just a small percentage. How have they been able to do it? Here's where they've done it. It's family. The Kabbalistic leadership are families, just like the mafia. So what they do is, like the Rothschild did, they simply raise up the next generation. They select the oldest son, and they simply say, you know, this is our destiny. This is what we have done. We're going to train you, and you're going to do this, and you're going to train your child, and it's going to go on for centuries. They've been doing this now for 3,000 years, and they're very successful. You find that most of the banking families do the same thing. They try to raise their children, and they try to keep it in the family. That's been their success. Now, in Christianity, it's helter-skelter. You very seldom find a succession when you have Christians that are simply raising up their children. When their parents get older, the children take over, they raise up the next generation, and we got a strong Christian movement. That does not happen because Christians have not been smart enough to understand that. So what we do is we do helter-skelter, hoping if I threw enough mud on the wall, it would stick. Sometimes it does, sometimes it's not. So what we need to do is we need to simply say we're going to protect our children because the enemy wants to take them away. And we've got to train them historically, biblically, have them saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, because we have a destiny. And the destiny is to have a strong, vibrant church in the time of the tribulation period with the Antichrist. We have 2 witnesses that are going to stand in Jerusalem at that time. They have supernatural power. And if anyone try to touch them, they die. Just like Ananias and Sapphira. I believe that we can raise up children today. Train them, telling them this. Your future is not that bright. You're not going to make a lot of money. The system is not going to be nice to you. But you want to stay in the kingdom of God. And you want to be on the right side. So when we come back in a 1,000-year kingdom, you can reign and rule with Christ while the rest of the boasters are in hell, burning and waiting for the resurrection and the great lake of fire. Let me take you to Revelation 11, 3-8. And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, the fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. If any man will hurt them, you must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of the prophecy, have power over water to turn into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Jerusalem is the seat of the beast. Everything will be from Jerusalem, Judea, Galilee. That is where the Antichrist system will reign from. It will be a Jewish system lording over the Gentiles. We have two identification here on Jerusalem. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by gathering together to him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come. In other words, Jesus is not going to come back, except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, with his worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There's only one place for the temple, Jerusalem. Let me turn quickly here to John 8:37, as we wrap this message up. John 8:37. And I want to share this with you from my personal life. I have on my dad's side, his grandfather came to the United States and got saved in a D.L. Moody meeting in Chicago. Came back to Sweden, and he was a mighty witness for God. My great-great-grandfather on my mother's side was a preacher in the late 1800s when they had a revival in Sweden. And his son, which would be my mother's grandfather, was also a preacher of hellfire and brimstone. I was conceived out of wedlock. I was cursed. But you see, God selects people. There's something of bloodlines. And when I was born, they had what they called a water baptism in the Lutheran church. And the baby's always held by an uncle or an aunt. And I had an aunt that held me. She told me this. And when she stood there and they put the headboard on my head and so on, she prayed. She was born again. She prayed, God, make this boy a preacher. And then for 25 years, she prayed for me. I was working with the Lord for my first 13 years, and then went off in the tulips. And I remember after I got back to Christ and I talked to her, she said, I gave up hope. I prayed for 25 years, and the more I prayed, the worse you got. One day, God got a hold of me. And I simply said, I surrender. I led my brother to Christ. His wife got saved. He brought him over to the United States. Because God told me this, you can't leave your brother in Sweden. He would succumb to drinking and smoking and all the other stuff we're doing. You've got to bring him over. Those were the days before we had restrictions. We got a visa in about 3 months. Brought him over. So they had children. And I remember holding their first baby, oldest son. I dedicated him. And when I held that little boy, I said, God, I want this boy to be a preacher. God, anoint him, guide him, lead him. Well, Charles Terrell today is a preacher. When I'm gone, he's going to be the one to take over this ministry. He's been with me now for 20 years. And we're going to have succession in our bloodline. God has called people out. So, you might be of a different family, different places. But God has a call on you, and he wants you to respond to him. This is not a time for games. So you're watching me right now, I don't know what part of the world you are, and you're saying, well, I never heard of a message like this. But it fits what I see in the world. God is calling you to be a witness. If you're saved, he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to do his work. Not everyone is called to be a preacher. You might become a doctor. You might become whatever profession you have. But in your profession, you are a professional witness. Amen. Every day you witness Christ. And you bring as many people as you can to Christ. So as we come to a close here right now on this, let me read John 8:37 when we add it. And this is what Jesus said to the people, the Jewish people. I'm going to pick it up here, verse number 44. This is what he said. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Satan is the father of Jewish people. Satan is the father of all unsaved people on this earth. So now, the question is, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to just go to live your life and just do your things every day and then die? And on the other side, God's going to say, you had truth. You knew a lot of things that other people didn't know. Why did you not share that more openly? Why did you not try to get people to get saved? And you can say, well, I'm too busy with my job. You know, we had to do this, we had to do that. So, and God's going to say, look, I did not send you to earth for you to work. I send you to earth to be saved and witness, and your work to put food on the table. But the work is secondary. Witnessing is priority. Amen. I challenge you today that are watching. And I pray to God that you will simply say, Lord, help me change my priorities. I want to be a flaming evangelist witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to those of you that are watching and are not saved, you can get in on it today by simply saying this, God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, and he paid for my sins. Jesus, come on in. Save me. Save me, Jesus. And he will. After we have prayed here, the screen will change for you where you are. And you will see three crosses coming up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell. And he will say, my friend. And then he will start telling some Bible verses. Pray with you. And make sure that you get saved today. If you get saved today, would you call us? Would you contact me so I can rejoice with you? I can call you and pray with you on the phone. That would be a great joy to me. Praise the Lord. That was a hard message today. I gave it everything I had. I shot it from all barrels. And I pray to God that there be no apathy, but there be some action. I love you. That's what I preach hard. Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word here that was preached today. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible. It's got a clear message. It just needs to be dug into. And we thank you, Lord, that 100% truth was spoken here. And we thank you for those that will hear the word, this message, those that hear it today and those that will hear it in the future. We know that Satan wants to stomp out all truth, but he's not going to be successful in that venue. The truth will continue to go forth. The Word of God will endure forever, like the Bible says it will. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that people will be able to receive the truth and put it into action in this time that we were appointed to live on this planet. And I want to speak against all Zionism. I'm opposed to it. I want to speak against the Kabbalah and the Jewish mysticism that is being pushed out today. I want to speak against deception. The enemy, Satan, is a master deceiver. We want to speak against all subtlety, coercion, all these tools of the enemy. And we thank you, Father God, that light will shine, the light of Jesus, and expose all lies, and that the truth of God will prevail, and that is Jesus Christ is the only salvation for men, women, children. There is only one race on the planet. It is the human race. There are only two kingdoms, God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom. And we know who is the ultimate winner, Jesus and his people. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking his commandments. That's why he said we've all sinned and fallen short of his standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the second part in the series, The Mark of the Beast, and was entitled, The Beast and the Kabbalah. The devil will set up the Antichrist as a dictator over the world, but then this beast will be assassinated, only to be resurrected by Satan. Does that sound familiar? It should if you know the story of Jesus. The book of Revelation is difficult to understand if you don't know the origin of the Kabbalah and its end game. King Solomon organized the Kabbalistic system, and the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel spoke against this false religion and its grip on the people of Israel. The Kabbalistic and Masonic writings refer to King Solomon as the developer of the Kabbalah, corroborating the biblical account of a man with a Kabbalistic number of 666. This is why Jesus identified the Antichrist system as the number of a man. Renegade Jews have been faithfully working for the last 3,000 years to create a political slash religious system built on banking and commerce from which their false Messiah can rule the world. The Bible emphatically states that the beast is going to be Jewish. He will rule out of Jerusalem, claim the new temple as his own, and rule the earth for a season. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1739. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.